Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast. We're up to episode 421. We're up to the sequel to the Taken franchise. We're up to Taken 2 from 2012. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
All right, Nate. So did you see this film in the theater?
I did not. I saw Taken 1 in the theater. Of course, we talked about it last time and I liked it. And then this one came out like 4 years later. And I'll be honest, I don't know why, but I didn't go see it in the theater. Maybe I just thought this movie didn't need a sequel. I'm not going to bother. I didn't see this until it was on Blu-ray. So, and I only saw it once before this. Before sitting down to watch it for this, I've only seen it once.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. First of all, I didn't go to the theater to watch this. I think I seen the entire franchise on Blu-ray when it came out. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go to the theater to watch this. But this one, it felt like a rewatch again, like another new rewatch, because I didn't remember nothing, like nothing. Same. I was like, what is this movie about once it started? So Same. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We'll talk about that during the review. But let's talk financials, because this is interesting, and now I understand why they made three of these damn things. Budget wise, it was $45 million. Worldwide total of $376 million. Yeah.
Dang. Yeah, I mean, that's very good. That's very good. I mean, these are not big budget movies. They're mid budget, which I love. A good mid budget action thriller. They don't make these like that much anymore. But look at the returns. You know, every studio thinks they need to spend $200 million on every movie, or you could just, you know, spend 40 and then make almost 10 times your budget back. So, yeah, I agree with you. Not surprising that they made three after this one did so well. And the first one did really good too. So, but this one made more than part one.
Don't yeah. You? Yeah.
Yeah. Part one didn't make 300 and something million.
That one made 226 million.
Yeah. This one made more.
On a $25 million budget.
You know who's happy about that? Our buddy, Tony Movie Chappie. He loves part two. He says part two is the best one. So yeah. I'm sure he went to see it three times and helped, you know, helped the video, the box office or something. Cause you know what? And you said something rewatching it was like a first time watch. I agree. I only remembered one scene in this whole movie when I was watching it. And that's because the music that they used was in the movie Drive. And I remember being like, why is this song in this movie at this part? Other than that, I didn't remember crap. So, I mean, that's impressive, but you know, it's not as impressive. Wait till you hear these Rotten Tomatoes scores. Cause it is not very impressive.
I'll tell you. All right, so go ahead. What is it?
Well, this one took a big dip from the first movie. First movie had a 60% critic score. This one had a minus 38% dip to a 22% critic score.
Jesus.
Yeah. So 22% critics. Audiences, first movie had an 85. This movie had a 33% dip down to a 52. So critics hated it and audiences liked it way less, and somehow it made more money. You know what though? Usually when it comes to financials, a lot of times that's just like people love the first one, so they all went out to see it. And then afterward, we're like, dang, that sucked. I didn't like that. So that gotta be it. But this took a big dump on those scores. It did not do good.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that one. That is pretty much, that's horrible. That is really bad. That's bad. That's a bad drop. I mean, all over the place.
60, which is not an amazing, 22. But it's still fresh, right? Go from 60 and 85 to 22 and 52. Very bad.
Well, let's get, okay, so we got the audience and the critics. Let's see what was the flaw when we watched the movie. So let's start it all off. Liam Neeson is back as Brian Mills. Everybody's back from the first film. I mean, all his friends and everything. So with that said, take it away, Nate. What you got?
Okay. I gave him a 5 in the first movie. I gave him a 4 in this movie. I think he's still good. He's still good in the role, but there's nothing new like added to his character in this film, right? The only thing that's different is him and Lenore's relationship's a little better, right? Yep. Like, oh, only because Stuart doesn't want to take her to China or whatever, that wherever they were supposed to go on vacation. And so she's like, you know what? Me and Kim, we'll come visit you in Turkey or Jordan or wherever he was. Turkey, I think it is. And so other than that, he doesn't have a cool speech like he did in the first movie where he's like, I have a special set of skills. And look, nothing. He doesn't do none of that cool stuff. He just sort of, like, we know what he can do. We know who he is. And they did not build on it at all. So I cannot give it another 5 because they didn't advance. When you're doing sequels, to me, to remain a 5, you have to, like, you got to add a layer. You got to give me something new. They did not. However, it's still a cool enough character and I still like him enough that I gave him a 4. I only lowered it 1 point. But like, if they would have added a new wrinkle in or give me a little something, I don't know. They did not. So I gave him a 4.
Yeah, everything you said, absolutely 100%. I didn't see no progression on this character at all. He is the same old person since the first film. The only thing is he aged a little bit more. So he's a little bit slower instead of faster. Honestly, there is nothing in this film for this character to say, oh my God, this is amazing. He's literally the same character from the first film. You're absolutely right. Him and his ex-wife's relationship did get better. Personally feel that the daughter is annoying, even in this movie, even worse than the first film. This one, she had more screen time with her dad in this movie. Did it work for me? Absolutely not. I think it hindered the movie as much because she doesn't have skills that he does. So like throughout the whole time, he's like explaining to her to do this, do that, which mostly in the action sequences. But I just feel like it just didn't work for me. Like if this movie was mostly of the daughter, I would have said, wow, yeah, she did get better, right? Because the father taught her new skills, what to do. And now she's doing it. She is the same old Denzel in distress that we got in the first film. Her father didn't teach her nothing. If I found out in my first movie and I'm a daughter and I got kidnapped, and my father found me within 98 hours before I was never going to be seen again and be raped by all these dudes, right? Wouldn't you go, Dad, why don't you teach me how to hand-to-hand fight? Teach me the skills that you got so this would never happen again. So then when a sequel happens like this and the father gets taken, wouldn't the daughter go, you know what? A little flaw because she's not finessing it, but she could still hold her ground against these people. No, we went into a sequel that she did not know nothing again. She can't even drive a car. But in this movie, she became an expert.
We're going to talk about that until she has to drive a car, which I got something to say about that later.
I agree with you. Brother, we all could talk about those scenes. But that's my thing. That's where this movie for me, in terms of character development, did not work. Because I'm like, she's still the same little girl from the first film.
She's still running all the time.
Yes.
She's running everywhere. I hate it. I'm like, why are you always running?
For me, it just did not work. So with Brian Mills, I get it. I still said these movies should have had his friends because his friends are dope. When he's with his friends and they're all laughing and making fun of him and everything, I felt the camaraderie. I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. But Brian Mills as a character, you're absolutely right. He is the same carbon copy of the first film, but the only difference in this one, they warded him more down and gave more screen time to the daughter and the wife more. So, and the bad guys have more screen time in this one than the first. So anyway, with that, I gave it a 4-2. I thought Brian Mills was really good, but it's emo. Okay, main villains.
All right, listen. Okay, I have good and bad with these villains. I'll just give you my score right off the bat. I gave him a three. I'll explain why. The good. Okay, this is something I like and dislike. I kind of like that it's the dad of someone from the first movie. It's Marco. Like this. Oh, the guy who got electrocuted.
Yeah, Marco.
It's the dad of the one random guy who got electrocuted in the first movie.
Yeah.
That character in that movie, they don't make a big deal about him, Marco, right? Like he dies in the middle of the movie. He doesn't even he's not one of the final bad guys. He's not one of the final, he's just in the middle. He gets tortured. He gets electrocuted. So these writers said, let's take one of the random dudes from the first movie and we'll make him his dad. And it turns out his dad is like a freaking crime lord and the Albanians and has all these, underlings and all. So it's like, okay, I kind of like that it's the dad getting revenge, right? Dad versus dad. I am a fan. So in real life, there's a point in this movie. I'm watching this movie, Alex. I'm sitting here. I'm watching the movie. The bad guy dad is like, you killed my son. You killed him. And in my head, and I know he was going to say it, but I'm in my head, I'm thinking, just tell him, bro, your son kidnapped my daughter and tried to sell her into sex slavery. And then he does. Liam Neeson's like, you kidnapped my daughter. And he's like, I don't care. And I was like, that pissed me off. So I was like, so that's a good point for the villain, right? Like, oh, he's so annoying. But at the same time, how generic can we be that the villain is just the dad of a guy in the first movie who wants to get revenge for his son dying? So I can't give it crazy good scores because it's not overly creative. It's kind of low hanging fruit. Well, you know what? We'll just make it someone's dad. He wants revenge. And I like revenge stories. I think we both do. But I like revenge better from the hero than the villain.
personally.
I don't like when villains just want revenge. There got to be more. Think like Die Hard 3, right? Like Jeremy Irons wanted revenge for his brother, Hans Gruber, but he was like so elevated as a villain. Like he did so much more. He had charisma. Yeah, this guy's just an old guy. He sits in a chair in most of the movie, sitting in that dirty old, like crumbled up apartment, sitting in a chair, letting everyone else do all the work. All his henchmen, they all suck. They get outsmarted by an 18-year-old girl who can't drive. They get beat up. Dude, Liam Neeson's tied up. He escapes easy. Pretty easy, honestly, once they leave. So I don't know. I gave him a 3. There's a lot of them. And at least at the end, he tried to shoot him with the gun with no bullets. That was funny. He's like, you know, hey, I'll let you live. I won't look at you. And as soon as he turns around, the dude picks up the gun and then Liam Neeson kills him in a dumb way. But yeah, I gave him a 3.
All right. So I guess we're going to be, this is going to be a classic episode because honestly, I gave it a 2.
Oh,
and this is why I gave it a 2. I mean, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. The film was in Istanbul. That's where they were. Istanbul. So anyway, so they go to Istanbul because he's doing a security for a prince or something like that. He's doing security. He tells Kim and the wife, come visit me. I have this, you guys can stay with me. We could hang out or whatever. So they all visit, right? So the guy plans to kidnap him. So I was like, cool. All right, fine. That's a cool thing to do, right? Whatever. My only gripe with this old dude, my man can't fight. He can't fight. Like, he looked chicken shit when my man came in there all hurt and beat up. He was just like, he slapped the gun out of his hand, right? They have the conversation that you laid out here on the podcast. And the minute he clicks that gun, all he did was take his head and shoved it into a freaking hanger hook. Yeah. Like, what? Are you killing me? Like, out of all the ways you could kill this guy, which I kind of think he just didn't want to kill him the way he wanted. He just went, you know what? You're just a piece of crap. Like, he just slammed him. But it was so weak. So weak. It reminds me of some Bond villains that tells him the plan and then he escapes and then he saves the world because this guy literally told him everything was going to happen. And then James Bond will just throw him out the window. Like, he did this horrible thing and they're not fighting or nothing. All of a sudden he just opens the door, throws him out. Like, that's what I feel like. He's like a Bond villain that's horrible. Worse than Dominic Green. We keep saying Dominic Green and everything because he's the worst Bond villain.
He's a comparison for like worst villain.
Yeah. Him or
where
or
do you
the
rank
other
on
guy
the Dominic Green scale?
The Dominic Green. Yeah. Is him, Dominic Green, and the guy that won the Oscar for playing Freddie Mercury. He was another piece of crap. Was his name Malik? Yeah, he was another piece of crap in No Time to Die. So like, but Dominic Green is the worst of the worst. So you're right. In the Dominic Green scale, like, is he the worst? I think he is. Because this guy didn't do nothing. He absolutely nothing. Tons of guys. Cool. But at the end, he killed, you know, he gave the great speech, right? They killed my parents. I mean, you know, he killed brothers and daughters and whatever the hell it is, right? I don't know. I just feel like he was just very lackluster. Like, especially for a confrontational that he killed your son, there was not much there. So yeah, I gave it a 2. It didn't work for me. Whereas, yeah, for the sequel, I would have said, okay, cool. But I feel like when they do these type of movies, I always feel like the brother is the most dominant one over the parent, right? Like, think about it, right? You have Hans Gruber in Die Hard 1, but then his brother Simon came for 3, and he was more ruthless than his brother.
Yes.
Right? So what happened if Hans Sr. comes for Die Hard? Yeah. But is he going to be worse than Simon and his other son? Like, that's what you want in a villain.
Yeah.
Like, the father, you thought he was going to be the biggest. No, he was whack. He went through all these guys and just killed them with a hanger. I was like, oh, this is whack. So anyway, I gave it him a 2. Like, okay. That. Which I already know. I don't even know where we're going to go with this, but action sequences.
All right. So this was directed by Olivier Megaton. I just call him Megatron. It looks like if you add an R, it's Megatron. Megatron directed this. He directed Taken 3 as well. I think we will have similar complaints with both films. Look, to be honest, I gave it a 3, but that is only because there's a lot of action. You know, when I'm thinking of these movies, I'm like, okay, if it's like not that much and it's filmed bad, I don't think this is filmed bad. The problem with this one, and it's, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but it's way more egregious later, is this editing style is absolutely on crack. Every shot is half a second long, and there's 69 edits in every action scene, and nothing holds for a very long time. This one's a little less egregious than Taken 3, but it's still pretty bad. At least this one has some shots that are like longer, like when she's running on the roofs and stuff like that, and you know, it's okay. I like the setting. I like Istanbul is a pretty cool city as far as like the geography of it. But like you have like the car chase, which is bad. You have like running around on roofs. You have some shooting, but there's a good amount. You get some Brian Mills hand to hand, you know, fighting, which is, it's fine. I gave it a 3. To me, a 3, like, is this generic? This is like very generic action. I don't think it's horrible. I don't think it's very good. I think it's middle. So I gave it a 3.
All right, man. I gave it a 2.
Fair.
And you said it. You said it. The cuts, the editing destroyed me in this movie. And it gets worse in Taken 3. So you think this is a 2? Wait, 3. I agree. I don't know why they decided to go down the rabbit hole of this editing. And I get it. He is older. I mean, do it like they used to do it in the 90s. Have a stunt double and that's it. Like someone that looked like Liam Neeson in the back when they're fighting. It's okay. Like you CGI people's heads off all the time. Like I'm okay with it. They didn't. They decided to do this like 60 cuts to throw one punch. It did not work for me. Kim driving is one of the worst sequences in film history. I don't care what anyone says. The girl cannot drive to a stop sign, but then by the end of the movie, they have to escape. She's driving like fucking Ethan Hunt through Istanbul and then doing 180s. Like, first of all, if you don't know how to drive, you don't know how to use the emergency brake and pull to the, do this and do that. And oh, dude,
and I'm pretty sure the car was manual. It wasn't even automatic.
It was manual. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she knows how to change gears. And it's funny because my wife was just like, she was like, oh, this is the scene that you keep saying the same thing. Even the first time when you watched it, she was, give me a break. And I was just like, oh, crap. I was like, now I know why I stopped watching. Never watch this again. And it's because of the Kim driving. It's not believable. If she has not a driver's license, she cannot go behind a manual car and wheel it around like she's a seasoned veteran. It should have been her dad.
In a city she doesn't know. In a country she doesn't know. No. Like these little narrow streets with people walking all over them. But you're telling me she's a precision driver. She's like Jason Statham from Transporter.
Yeah. I'm sorry. If you're driving towards the NBC at full speed, you're going to get torn up from the floor up with bullet holes. They're not looking at you to slam into them. They're going to destroy that car before they even come near that thing. That thing should have been exploded.
Yeah, what if it was a car bomb? They're going to let it get all the way up to the freaking stairs and then...
Bro, I'm telling you, certain things in this movie, I shook my head like, you're going to drive 200 miles per hour through an embassy? Like, dude, you're going to get destroyed by the army. Like, these dudes are looking to shoot. They're not going to be like, don't shoot. And the first thing you say, keep your head down. Hey, Sam, get me out of this thing. I don't want to get shot. You should have been shot the minute you came near.
Wait, that's the other part. They're driving through that and they recline those seats. How could she even see where she was going? How could she see and do turns and go up the... Because they're shooting and they're like, I'm going to lower my score to a 2. I've just lowered it. I gave the action a 2. I forgot about that. Never mind. I'm with you.
Yeah, 2. So... Hand-to-hand is okay. Liam Neeson, I think his best work in these Taken movies is his hand-to-hand because it looks like he's enjoying doing it. Like, he looks pretty good and natural at the, whatever, the Rolf McGraw or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called? I don't want
to mess up. Krav Maga?
Is that what it's called?
Krav Maga is the style.
Okay, Krav Maga, whatever. Yeah, it looks like he's enjoying doing those, right? For Liam Neeson, it works. The shooting, not as much in this movie as what you thought it would be. It's just straight up hand to hand when he comes up with everyone. He takes their guns, which I always like in movies when they take their guns. They don't have to reload all the time. Worked. Driving stinks. So I gave it a 2. Did not work for me. Okay. Yeah. Storyline.
I gave it a 2 also. Also a 2. So I had so many. This is a stupid movie. This is a stupid movie. We've mentioned the driving thing. So this is like a year later, as far as I remember from Taken 1, or supposed to be a year later, even though it's 4 years later. So we got this girl, Maggie Grace, first of all, she was playing a 17-year-old in the first movie. She was not 17. Now she's playing an 18-year-old and she looks 28. So I'm like, okay, sure. They said, hey, you know what? In the first movie, the daughter got taken. In this movie, the wife's going to get taken. And Liam Neeson's going to get taken. And then we're going to have him chained in a room for 20 minutes and have to watch Kim run around a hotel. She's now freaking Evelyn Salt from Salt climbing on the outside of hotel buildings.
Oh, that's right.
I'm like, please. She left her flip-flops on the floor so that the villains know she's out there. Bro, take your flip-flop. Why are you taking your shoes off? Just put it or throw them out the window, you idiot. She's climbing around. Of course, you get my convenient things that I hate, like when she's in the closet and the villain is literally 1 inch away from her, but then he hears a noise and decides to run away. It's like, there's an alarm. And then he leaves and she survives because he didn't like move one set of shirts. Then you have, like I said, then they get taken and Lenore is asleep for almost all this whole movie, right? Like she's like knocked out all the time. And it's kind of just a rehash. For the most part, he's trying to get these guys. He's trying to get back somebody. First one daughter, this one ex-wife. First of all, I wouldn't even travel to Istanbul if I got kidnapped and sold into sex slavery 1 year ago. I wouldn't travel out of America for like 20 years if that happened to me. I don't care. Like, they seem too fine. They seem like too okay from that ordeal that happened in the first movie. I don't need necessarily like the whole thing of like, oh, this is so traumatic and they're just all depressed. But come on, you know, give me something here where they're like, oh, we're scared to travel because remember last time, blah, blah. Nope. They're like, yep, yeah, we'll go to Istanbul. Sure. No problem. We'll get, you know, whatever. No big deal. So yeah, it's just bad. It's just bad writing. I gave it a 2.
You're absolutely right. 100%. I agree. I mean, I gave the movie a 2 too. I don't think this, I mean, I like some aspects of the story. I do like the dad getting revenge. I think that was pretty cool. Like, I again, that whole thing is cool. But yeah. Then you're right. It's kind of the same fucking movie from the first movie. Like, he gets taken, the mom gets taken, but now Kim is the one that has to do everything. Like, I don't, yeah. It doesn't, again, it doesn't work for me. Like, it doesn't. And that's why I was like sitting through this movie. I'm like, damn, some parts I did enjoy. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. But then there's certain parts that scratch my head. Like, come on, this girl doesn't know how to fight. Like, why is she doing all this? She can't drive. She can't fight. She can't do nothing at all. Everything is Brian Mills. But he's now this is where I wanted to talk about in storyline. He is directing this girl how to do sequences on a fucking phone. Go into my room. The lock code number is 8216. And when you get there, let me know. Yeah. Literally, every guy's like right behind that door. She gets it. I'm here, Dad. Now, grab everything in that case. Take a grenade. Throw it at civilians. And when it explodes, do this, do that. Take a map. And now, put 3 clicks and whatever. And I'm like, come on. First of all, someone like me, I'm a computer wizard, right? But if my dad is giving me all these coins, I'm not going to know what he's talking about, especially reading a map. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, especially like Navy SEAL to Navy SEAL, I bet they know everything. Miles, clicks, all that stuff. If you're talking to a civilian that does not know how to read a map, doesn't know what these... I would have been like, yo, dad, hold up. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Yeah. There's a ruler on top of the map that will show you. Dad, I failed, you know, science. Like, what do you want me to do?
Not to mention,
like,
she's very composed for someone who just got kidnapped. Yes. And her mom is kidnapped and her dad, and she's just like kind of cool.
You're absolutely right. And that's another thing. You said it. My wife said the same thing. She goes, wait a minute. This takes place a year after and this girl is okay to go to Istanbul. I would be like, first of all, as a father, I'll be like, don't come over here. I'll go meet you guys back home. Like, I don't want you to whatever. She doesn't have no PTSD of the situations that happen. Like, she doesn't even have panic attacks. Like, wouldn't she have a panic attack? Guys, getting her again? Like, she'll collapse on the floor or can't breathe. Or honestly, dude, you're absolutely right. This is where the movie fails to me, where it's just too movie magic. Like, and that's what I mean. Like, you could take a storyline, it's pretty cool. But when you Hollywood this shit out of it, then you take me out of the franchise. And this franchise does that. The first movie, phenomenal. We talked about it. Great. This sequel doesn't feel like a cool movie because of that. It's like, she has no PTSD. The mom always have trouble with rich guys for some damn reason. Stewart in the first movie is not the Stewart in the second and third. She just marries Stewarts. Some guy named Stewart.
It is the same Stewart. But I mean, I liked him in the first movie. I was like, oh, okay, Stewart. He was nice, remember? Hey, you want to join us for lunch? Oh, I got something to say about Stewart later for taking
But what I mean is,
they're just having some fighting.
Right, but what I'm saying is, it's like, I feel like there's the 3 stages of Stewart. You got the white guy version. The
3 stages of Stewart,
yeah. Yeah, and then you have the second movie where he's not even in the movie.
He's not even in it.
Yeah, he's not in the film. And then in the third movie, he's Spanish. So it's like, you change actors, you change the guy's personality, so... It's weird. It's such a weird dynamic. Like, this is why I told you, Nate, and I know me and you laugh and you go, man, you have some horrible taste and stuff, but I don't like Louis Bassan because of these things. Like, he's so inconsistent in some of his movies, especially sequels, right? If you look at the Transporters, we did all of them. They all inconsistent.
Although I like Transporter 2 kind of good, but it's stupid, though. It's stupid.
They get worse. But that's what I'm saying. Like, they get worse, but it's not consistent from the first movie that he wrote that's phenomenal. Imagine if he did The Professional Part 2. How bad that would be.
I don't want to imagine that.
But anyway, I gave it a 2. You gave it a 2 overall.
Now he's going to make The Sixth Element and then piss everybody off who loves The Sixth Element.
She's the element.
Overall, I give this movie a Taken 2 out of 5. two out of five. I didn't like this when I saw it the first time. I did not like it when I saw it this time. I knew I wasn't gonna, but I was like, this is a big franchise. We gotta cover it. But it is, I won't say it's worse than I remember. I would say I probably felt the same way 10 years ago when I watched it, or 13 years ago, whatever it was. When did this come out? 2012? 12 years ago I watched this. And honestly, it's kind of boring. Like, stuff's happening, but because the story's not that good, see, the reason Taken 1 is good is because it has a good story. It has a good plot. This guy, ex-super military guy, you don't really know everything, but you know enough. He's trying to get his daughter back. He's looking for answers. He's going around. He doesn't get to do that in this movie because he's chained up in a basement for 20 minutes. Kim's running around throwing grenades everywhere. You're telling me this girl, this white girl, white American girl, running around Turkey throwing grenades. No cops. No one ever comes. No, you know, like FBI or whatever they have over there in Istanbul. Nothing. He's like, throw another grenade. She's like, blows up, keeps running. Like, bro, it's got to be mad easy to be a terrorist in Istanbul. You just run around throwing grenades. Nobody stops you. You can drive a car up to the embassy. Nobody will stop you. It's just too stupid. This is a stupid movie. I gave it a 2.
I agree with you. It's a 2 for me too. I did not like this movie as much. Now I understand why I'd never see it again. Like, I don't pop this one at all. And you're right. She's throwing grenades at civilians. Like, especially the scene that he goes, count 30 seconds and throw another one. She literally threw it. She literally threw it somewhere where there's civilians.
Yeah.
And it went boom. And I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, how many people are dead or
Kim
injured?
Kim definitely killed some people in this movie. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't tell me count 30 seconds and then throw it the other way. And then he could, oh man. It's just so much unrealistic things in this film that took me out of it. And that was one of the scenes too, that it just took me out. Him finding her by talking through a phone and smoke and just so dumb. I gave it a 2. All right, total points.
13 out of a 25 for me. Yeah, this movie's pretty whack. I'm not a fan of it. I will never watch it again. I thought I would never watch it again, but then we started this action podcast and so here we are. But now that we've already covered it, I'm never watching it again. There's nothing in it. I don't even rewatch Taken 1. I think I mentioned this last week. Like, this is not like a franchise that I love. I think the first one's really good. I don't rewatch it. I'm never going to see this again. 13.
Yeah, I gave it a 12. I own it on Blu-ray and I watched it unrated and it didn't even work because it just stunk.
I have it on digital.
Yeah, movie's not good. It's not good at all. And even, I hate to say this, but if even any of these franchises, movies come out in 4K, I would never buy them. Like, won't look at good. All.
First of all, the way it's shot, what quality are you really going to get from this? I don't know.
No, I agree. It's not a good film. So anyway, 12 for me, 13 for you. All right, what's coming up next on the podcast?
Okay, next up, we will continue on with our female-led action movie month, doing a Gina Carano, we'll call it a classic, called In the Blood. And then, this was a short series, thank God. We'll be wrapping up the Taken franchise with the third and final installment called cleverly titled Taken 3. So those are going to be our next two movies coming up.
All right, guys. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/action movie guys. Subscribe, leave comments on your favorite episodes. We'll comment right back. And of course, you can take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. And of course, you guys could follow Geeks and Flicks on Instagram and TikTok under Geeks, the letter N, Flicks. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.